grace. You have sent your Son, and that gives us the ability to come to you someday. And God, I pray as we sing that, and again, this time of year where the world seems to be somewhat enthroned with the concept of Christmas, but Lord, we are living in a broken world. We are living in a world that doesn't see Christmas as once we have seen Christmas. Many now are looking at it more in the different world, different way, the world way, or the materialistic way. But God, I pray, as we that have the truth, I pray we never become silent. I pray we sing, we praise you as often as we can. And Father, as we study tonight, I pray that you use this time, that you'll teach us, that you'll encourage us, and you'll stir us up. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Appreciate that singing tonight. But I want to start off tonight by asking you a question. And one of those questions, or one of the main questions, is we talked a little bit this morning about Joseph's calling and how important I think it was that we realized that Joseph was called to be Mary's husband. God specifically told him and called him and gave him that to be her husband. And of course, that went along with supporting and raising and giving Christ the carpenter trade that we know Joseph had in Nazareth. And so looking at that, I wanted to gear it off a little bit in the mindset of if someone asks you to explain, what does it mean or what does it look like for God to call you? How would you answer that? What is the call of God? You can answer that. I lie.
It's scary.
Could be very scary. It depends on where he's calling. Could be very scary.
Well, it makes you leave your comfort zone in most cases.
Okay.
And leads you to places that you wouldn't have expected, or jobs that you wouldn't have taken on, or responsibilities that you wouldn't have.
Okay, so he leads us most of the time out of the comfort zone that we may be in. Give responsibilities, location, ministry, all that kind of stuff, sure. What else does it look like? What else can we add to that? Anything?
Ben DeLorme, I remember back in the waters, I would have never suspected Ben that ever become where he is today. Mm-hmm. But he went into the ministry and that, and then he went on mission trips. And through the mission trips, he felt that God was pulling him into that area.
Okay, so as you serve, God may pull you a little further into responsibility of the service. Okay, sure.
I think a calling can look like a lot of different things, not necessarily just ministry. It could be places in your life that he's, or journeys in your life that he's asked, he's called you to into that he wants to use you in that those wherever he's, you know, it can look like many things. It's a matter of using whatever he put you in for his
glory. Okay, whatever circumstance he may walk you through, I do think that's a calling, going through life, journey, difficult times, because he still wants you to have that testimony in that time. He still wants you to, see, the thing of it is a testimony that you and I have, that is part of a calling, because we are called to Christ in salvation. And so that calling, that adoption, that being a part of the family, comes with a testimony, a part of that. So sometimes we hear the word calling, we think, well, called into full-time ministry, or called into going somewhere for God. And I know that most of the time in the New Script, in the Testaments, when we look at the scriptures and you see about how God called these men, he did call them out from one thing to another. And you can apply that to life. As Kim said, you could be having your great day, everything going well, and then all of a sudden your whole world gets turned upside down. And that next journey, that next phase of journey is something that God has asked you or called you to go through. Because not everybody's going to go through that. Not everybody's going to go through what you have gone through. But many will, but not everyone. So now you have this understanding of the call of God doesn't always necessarily mean you're going into ministry. I really believe the call of God is anything that God asks you to accomplish from God is a call of God. And so with that said, we do get shifted from our comfort zones. We do go into ministries, or we'll go to mission trips. We'll go, I know in my life, I felt like I wasn't doing enough in the church. And so Pastor Fry and myself, we went on visitation together, and I got to know him. And I thought, he's just an ordinary man. Here I had him way up there, you know. He's just a guy that loved the Lord. And so we talked, and you know, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. And took a trip to Baptist Bible College, and on that campus, that settled it. I knew that's what God was calling me to go, what God was calling me to do. And so it's an interesting thing, and that's what I want to talk about, the calling. Because if we live in a world where the younger generation, they really don't see a need to go into ministry, then we need to be able to explain to them that we know what it means to be called. Because we're all called. Some are called in different places. Some are called to go other places. Some are called to preach. Some are called to teach. We see that in the New Testament. Some prophets, teachers, evangelists, they're all part of God's plan. But everybody has a calling. And I think we've at times grown up with a mindset that, well, that's what we hired you for. You're the one called in the ministry. You're the one that's supposed to go visit everybody. You're the one that's supposed to live everybody to the Lord. You're the one that's supposed to do all that stuff. You're called for it. I'm not called for it. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. We're all called for that. And so I wanted to go to a portion of Scripture that talked about God calling. And again, these men, we know when God called the disciples, he called them to go into a ministry. But I want to tear it up a little bit, because I think as we realize in their calling, we can see some of the diversity, some of the different areas, some of the things that God expects when you are called. Now, if we all get some kind of an agreement on the same page that we're all called, when you're called into salvation, you're called to have a testimony for God. Whether it's on the mission field, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in your home, we all have a calling of God to serve him, period. So with all of us having that calling, there are some things that go with that calling. And that's what I want to look at tonight. So turn your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're getting into the very beginning of Christ's ministry here, and sort of set the stage a little bit for this. Christ is tempted by Satan. It's very interesting in the context, and I really believe that Scripture wasn't just put together. Scriptures were put together chronologically in some order for purpose and the plan of God. So we can see the progression. Christ gets baptized. Once he gets baptized, immediately Satan removes him to the wilderness and tempts him. And from immediately from that tempting, we come into verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And there he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. Go down into verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, at this moment, you and I could look at John the Baptist and say, man, I am glad I am not you. Because you realize, now we talked a little bit about this morning about when Mary went to Elizabeth and the baby inside Elizabeth's womb rolled, jumped, John the Baptist. She had John the Baptist, and then Christ was there, so the forerunner of his ministry. All his life, he was not able to do anything against, because Christ had God had a ministry plan for his life. In fact, it's interesting, and I use this, and I'll say this very carefully, but this is my understanding of social drinking, is when Elizabeth was told not to touch, not to touch grape juice, for the fear it may be fermented, because God was calling the baby in her womb into ministry. John the Baptist, Solomon, all of them, they weren't allowed to touch the fermented grape juice because God was calling them into ministry. Now, do you really think God drank wine at the wedding in Canaan. When he asked these, they couldn't, God never asked us to do anything that he hasn't already done or willing to do. And therefore, I don't agree with any of it. So we have a gentleman now coming on scene. John the Baptist comes on scene. John the Baptist goes out, and as he goes out into ministry, he has a ministry that lasts maybe a couple years, and now he's in prison, and we know that he never makes it out of prison. So what's the significance between verse 13 and 14? No, he was tempted in the wilderness. Let's just stick with verse 14. Now, after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God. What does that verse say to you? Again, John the Baptist was what? The forerunner of Christ. So what does verse 14 say to you? John the Baptist's ministry was done. That scares me a little bit. As Linda said, calling of God's scary sometimes. I'm convinced that you're going to live on this earth for as long as your ministry is here. When your ministry is done, so are you. I don't think God just leaves you here to just retire and lollygag around and do absolutely nothing. When your ministry's done, so are you. And so, to me, when that's being said, we are to be doing our call until we can't do anymore. So, put that into perspective. Bill's right. John the Baptist had to go so Christ could come. And that's exactly what that verse says. John the Baptist was put in prison. Christ came preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. Christ's ministry began at this point. When that beginning or that ministry started, we now come into verse 16, and he begins to call his disciples. So in this calling, we have verse 16, and it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen." So we realize that these two individuals, or these two men, he calls four altogether, two now and then two in a little bit. And when he calls them, it's interesting that I think Mark is making it very clear here that to repent and believe, because in verse 15, Christ says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And as soon as that message begins to go forth, from Christ, there's a result from that. And I believe that with true repentance becomes true forgiveness, which brings true change. And the first thing we need to understand about a calling brings change. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's more responsibility. Sometimes it's areas that we got to go and we're not comfortable in. I mean, nobody knows your comfort zone better than God does. And you think your comfort zone's this big, and God says, "No, it's this big, trust me." And he'll put you there, trust me. He'll put you out of that comfort zone. He'll stretch that comfort zone. But with him, he'll never allow you to be away from the comfort. And again, we say comfort zone. Is there any limits to the comfort with God? Should we ever even use the word zone? Because in John 14, "I must leave so the Comforter will come. Peace I leave unto you as the world does not leave." No matter where you're at, you're in the comfort of God. So you and I put zone to it. God says, "Listen, you've got the whole world to work. There's no zone. There's no comfort zone." That's man-made understanding. God says as long as the Spirit of God is in you and the Spirit of God goes with you, you are in comfort, period. Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, how far away you go. And that's why We have missionaries who are facing things much harder than you and I have ever faced, and they're still joyful, they're still smiling, and they're still serving God. Why? Because they're in the comfort of their God. They're not in a man-made comfort zone. So when God brings you out of the comfort zone, remember God doesn't have a zone because everything belongs to Him. You're in the comfort of God no matter where you are. And that's actually refreshing, knowing that I can do a call. I can do whatever God asks me to do because I'm always within His comfort. And my zone, He's broken them walls a long time ago. And I do my best not to build them back up. And we are the ones who build the comfort zones. So in that understanding, He now comes and He now begins to call these individuals. But it's interesting because Mark goes from the repent, believe the gospel, now into this change of being called. Because I believe in both circumstances, to repent and believe brings change. To be called by God brings change. Both of them, there is a change that God is asking of you. Now, maybe it's a change of location. Maybe it's a change of professions. Maybe it's just a simple change that He wants you, instead of doing this, He wants you to do this. But with the salvation of Christ, there's change. With the calling of God, there's change. And we love change. Right? I think Satan uses that against us. I really do. He allows us to make sure that we don't like change, but God's all about change. Man, Christians ought to be the ones that are hooting and hollering for change, because God's behind the change, and it's good change, right? It's a good one. He's growing us. He's allowing us, and as we studied here on Wednesday nights about Romans 8:28, God is working all things to the good. That good is heaven. That good is not a better life on earth. That good is not a better circumstance in His place, in earth. That whole context is talking about heaven, the hope of our glory. And so that's the good. You and I are just on a bumpy road, traveling along. And I saw a stick drawing of this one time. It was really cute. Of course, the stick figures, I'm really good at drawing people in stick figures. But our plan, the journey of life, is a straight line. That's what we want. And God's plan, it was kind of cool. It went like this, and there was a bunch of rocks. Went like this, and there was a bunch of water. Went like this, and there was a bunch of just everything. That's God's plan for the journey of our life. Ups and downs and struggles. Because why? Why does not God give us a nice, even, straight road?
We wouldn't grow.
We wouldn't grow. Why wouldn't we grow? Okay, opportunity to trust Him isn't there. Pretty much same, said same thing at the same time. I had it in stereo. It was nice. Same thing, same time. Yeah, listen, the bumps in the journey of our life are placed there because God knows we need to learn to trust Him more. On our own, in a smooth days, we still have enough of that old nature in us that we'll tend to begin to take control and we'll begin to do things the way we want. So every now and then, God has to put us in a place where we remember we have to trust Him to get through this one. We can't make it through this one without Him. So all of that being said, that all goes into the calling. Because let's look at these guys in verse 16. Verse 16 says, again, the Sea of Galilee. Man, the Sea of Galilee was huge in Christ's ministry. It's about 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, and roughly 685 feet below sea level. So it's down there, okay? But it's not a huge, huge lake, but it was used in the ministry many times. There's a lot of things that went around as Christ begins His work here in Galilee. A lot of things happened around the sea through the scriptures. But interesting enough, when He's there in verse 16, He sees two individuals, Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea. And Christ says to them, and this is the calling. I want to look at this a little bit and tear it apart. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. What kind of a calling is that? Now put yourself in their shoes. They're fishermen by trade. They're out making a living. And they're casting their nets. And all of a sudden, he begins to say, as they cast their nets, and if you've ever seen them fish with nets, it's kind of interesting. And in fact, I had purchased one. I'm going to see how good I get. I'm going to try not to knock myself in the head with it. I tried fly fishing one time. Pow, man, come back down here and back of the head. So I gave up fly fishing. So we're going to try this fishing. And it's about a 10 to 15 foot circle in diameter. And they have the middle of it, and they just swing it around, and they just whip it out there, and it just goes like in a big frisbee, lands in the water, waits on the side, comes down around, and then you yank the rope. Whatever came down around, their fish are in there, hopefully. So that's what they were doing. They were sitting there, and they were whipping this out there. And you can imagine doing this every day, all day, for a livelihood. It'd get pretty monotonous, get pretty boring. Fishing it out there, whipping it out there, bringing the fish in. It was a hard, hard profession. So now he comes to them and says, he just wants them to come ye after me. So let's take that phrase in of itself. Come, or come follow me, come after me. What was he asking of them in that moment? Don't make it real difficult, but what was he asking of them? Okay, drop everything you're doing and follow me. What would that have meant to them? They are Jewish men, and they are fishermen. There was many professions you could do, but we have talked before, at age 12, what was decided on these men? You remember? Whether they were going to be priests or not. So the priests would fall around, and they would see they would pick the best ones of the bunch. And when the priest would simply go after them, and the priest would say, well, no, I want you to be a priest. Come after me, or come to me. It's interesting because the priest basically, at that point, they sought out pupils. They went and looked for these people. They went and looked for the pupils to follow them. And then that's what they would do. They would take them from the home, and these young students would then walk behind the priest, and they would just observe, and they would learn, and they would take the priestly duties when they reached a certain age. So these men are fishermen. What happened?
Didn't make the cut.
In man's eyes, they weren't good enough for ministry. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of good people sitting in the sidelines because somebody told them they weren't good enough for ministry. In the churches today and all through, they weren't good enough for ministry. You don't sing good enough. You don't do it good enough. You don't do this good. And they just, okay, fine. And they don't do anything. And so that's what I love about Christ calling every one of the apostles. They were already men in occupations. They were already men who were rejected by the eyes of men to be worthy of ministry. And that's why Christ says, go out among them. Go out in the streets. Go out and find them, because they're there. And so we need to be careful with that as we look at that and as we understand that concept of what he's doing. But in this phrase, come follow me or come after me, basically, it's an expression that simply is meant, go behind me as a disciple. That's the Greek phrase would mean that. When Christ says, come follow me, he's saying, go behind me and be my disciple. They would have understood that better than you and I do. You know, go behind me and watch, follow me. And so the first thing we find about a calling is that we don't outrun God in the calling. We can't go ahead of God in the calling. You know, sometimes you get these individuals who feel they're called into ministry, and then all of a sudden everything becomes about I accomplished, I did, I can do this, I can do that. And to me, somebody who's full of I is not full of Christ, because there's no room. They're so puffed up about themselves, there's no room for Christ. And so the first thing about a calling is we understand that when God will call whomever, and that individual, then we need to realize that according to this verse, is that it's just a following after. So does that allow you to maybe give into a calling a little better when you realize all you're doing in a calling is following God?
I have to assume that all the men were single, because they might be apprehensive of the following if they had a family at home that they were providing for. So I have to assume, by, from what I read, mm-hmm. that all the men were single. Maybe some were bored with what they were doing, mm-hmm. only fishing. That's pretty strong for the fishing all
right.
the years now. So that would lay into it too.
Well, we do know Peter had a mother-in-law, because Christ went and did some ministry there.
But
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, to have a mother-in-law, you got to have a wife somewhere around there. But Paul was married at one point. He was a Sadducee. That was part of their ruling. So some of these guys had families. But I understand that is just one more concept of, man, I don't know if I could do this or not. But realizing the sacrifice that these men made, if the priest said you can't be in the priesthood, then you're going to have to make your livelihood however you can. And so for them to give up would have been a lot, been a big sacrifice.
Plus they would have to live off of what other people would give them to eat, per se.
Well, and how did they even know what that looked like?
Right.
This is the very first two
right.
that's called into discipleship. Under Christ, you know, they had no idea what he was going to provide and how they were going to provide and what they were going to do. And so even talking about their mindset going into this calling, they had no idea other than, I'm just going to follow. That's it. So I've done this before. If I come up to you and say, hey, would you be involved in this? Just say yes. Y'all say yes, right? No. You want details. Give me details. I want to know what I'm getting into. I want to know. I'm glad you do that because I'm not God. But if God would ask you that, why do you need the details? Why do you need the details of what God is calling you into if you're sure he's calling you there? Calling, follow me, just says, go behind me and walk with me as a disciple.
You want to get out of your comfort zone.
Get out of your comfort zone? We need to have all our ducks in a row, don't we? Mm-hmm. I want to know how I'm going to eat. I don't know when I'm going to eat. I'll pick on poor Joe. We went on that mission trip. He wanted to know where the nearest McDonald's was.
Amen.
But we're all like that. We all want to know. And you know, when I study through this and I look at this, it's like, why do I have to know? Why do we have to know everything? We're not trusting. And I think we can't hear the call of God because we've lost the trust of God. And sometimes God's going to take us from our comfort zone. Sometimes God's going to put us through things that aren't very pleasant. All about come back and say, okay, God, I got to trust you because I don't know the answers of tomorrow. I don't know what the test results may be. I don't know how the outcome of this. I don't know how things are going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to provide. I'm going to lose my job. I don't know how things are going to happen. And all of a sudden, we like panic. And remember, we're all called, right? We're all saved. We're all children of God. We're all called. So every person saved has a calling that says, go behind me and follow me like a disciple. Is that not what the Great Commission says? Go ye into all the world and make disciples. So in their calling, we get an understanding that it's a change, that it's out of our understanding at times. So this phrase, just come follow me or come after me, we need to understand what they would have understood. And what they understood was that he just wants me to walk behind them, just wants me to walk with them. No details, no anything, no understanding, no game plan, no calling home on the cell phone, no emails, nothing. Follow me. This calling was an unbelievable step for these men. Because we see in verse 18, and straight away they forsook their nets and followed him. That is amazing to me. When you realize all that they gave up, all their livelihood, all everything, they didn't question. Now, you could probably say, well, they realized it was Christ, and if Christ was here today and he said that, I'd do the same thing because it's him. I doubt that. I doubt that. Because we have been asked by Christ to do many things, and we've justified, reasoned, ducks in a row, every excuse why we can't accomplish it. We're busy, out of my mental zone, don't understand it. We've thrown everything out there. And so why would him standing here be any different when he's here, right? Is Christ not in among us right now? Two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. He's here. And we've told him all the excuses in the book all our lives. So if he's standing here in person, I would venture to say we probably wouldn't follow him. Not like this. Well, he gave them special something. Doesn't say that. He just went to them and said, follow me. And they did. That straight away is really something that really got me in understanding this concept when he says, come follow me. Again, it was unlike the rabbi whose pupils sought them out. I mean, people wanted to go be a priest. People wanted to go to the rabbis. Christ went and sought these men out. So the pupils sought out the rabbi, but this rabbi sought out the pupil. And he's still seeking the pupils. He's still looking for people in which he can say, come follow me, come behind me, come be a disciple. And that goes to every one of us as we see this calling. And again, as this calling comes, one thing I wanted to mention in verse 17, the calling always comes with a promise. I will make you. That's a promise. And that I will is from God. So we can finish that sentence in a way we want. Here in the text, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Because why would he use fishers of men? What were they doing? It was an illustration that they would have understood. I want you to keep doing the concept of fishing, going after, continue working, always be looking for new areas to throw your nets. I always want you to be going, moving, doing that. But this time I'm going to use it for men instead of fish. That's just an illustration for them for where they were at. But the fact that he says, I will make you. You finish it based upon what you think God's calling you to do. I will make you a better speaker. I will make you a better employer. I will make you a better employee. I will make you a better husband. I will make you. And this calling that you and I have in life is a calling that God comes with a promise. God at salvation says, come on, come after me, walk behind me, be my disciple, and I will make you. Fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a blank check. Ooh, y'all would like a blank check. As long as it came from a bank account that could handle what you put on it. This is God speaking, saying, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you whatever you need to be to fit the calling that I'm giving you. Now, we always understand, you know, God doesn't call the qualify. He qualifies the call. We understand that. I've said that many times. But we see it in these men's lives. It comes with a promise. I will make you. So, first off, his challenge is, what is God doing to match your calling? What is he increasing in your life? Listen, I'm a firm believer in never being satisfied where you are. In your learning, in your spiritual life, keep reading, keep moving forward, keep going and moving, keep your mind exercised, keep your body running forward. Just keep going until God takes your breath. That's the calling that he's given all of us. And as long as we have breath, we need to be a disciple. We need to be sharing. We need to be doing for God. So he's calling these men out. And I didn't mean to overlook you, Jim. Do you have something to say on that?
After reading that about him calling them out and them dropping everything going, I had to go back men probably heard it, prior to this, and it fell in their hearts and that, and they came along.
It's very possible that they could have got an understanding of that, because again, they were already faithfully following God the Old Testament way. And so they were men who truly believed in what God was going to say and that God was going to send a Messiah. We know that all through the New Testament as we study through the apostles and their ministry with Christ, that they were all still looking, this is it, the Messiah is here, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's going to go in and he's going to wipe out all them Roman people and we're going to live great. Except they missed it. You know, he didn't come to set up his kingdom. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And so they needed to understand why he came. And they did after a period of time. And so they willing straight away as he makes them. And again, basically as he put them in that perspective of immediately they followed at once, straight away. They didn't even think about it. And that to me really speaks volumes of people who are eager to follow God. They'll get involved with it. There are some people in ministry that you talk with, and boy, they're just ask me, I'll do it, sure. Yeah. And I have to be careful. And I'll tell you, right, there's one of them sitting back, Jason's like that. I got to be careful with Jason. I love the guy, man. Love him in the Lord. He's willing to do whatever. I mean, I ask him to preach, sure, no problem. Really? You know how many men just start sweating when I say that? I mean, he's willing to jump in and do it, man. You see, that's somebody who has an understanding of a calling from God. And, man, we all have that calling. Wherever God leads, wherever God sends. Now, I'm not saying we should do things that we're not really gifted at. I mean, there's a difference here. But I think in what we see here in the calling of God is they basically just forsook everything and followed him. Verse 19 says, and he had gone a little further, hence and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straight away, same thing, and again, that word straight away just simply means all at once or immediately. He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Man, that would have been tough. Your dad's sitting there. Sorry, Pops, I'm done. I'm going. You've got other guys to help you. There is so much in that verse that these men were willing to give up just to follow God. And so the calling brings change, just like salvation brings change. Because you may not have had the ability before, and you may have been scared or laid back to go and talk to anybody. But now that Christ is in you, you got a little bit of a, you know, I'll talk to that person, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And, you know, the fear sometimes goes away. When you know that you are a disciple. A disciple is somebody who is walking behind God, which means that God has walked where he asked you to go. You are following him through it, and you're always in the midst of his comfort. And so, what could go wrong? But I may not have the right answer. Well, do you think I do? I don't always have the right answer, but I know where I can find it. Listen, it doesn't take, it's not a backward thing when you say, listen, I don't know the answer to that, but let me research it a little bit and I'll come back and get you one. And that's wisdom, because nobody knows all of it. The word calling needs to become more understood and it needs to be more followed in all of our lives, because we are all called. We are all disciples. And he's going to say the same thing to you and I at any given time in our life. Hey, see that guy on the bench? I want you to go talk with him. Why don't you go buy him a coffee? See that lady over there that's just in a stare? Go ask her what's wrong. I surely did not hear the right voice of God. We think of every excuse why we shouldn't do it. But they may be trouble. They may be a drug addict. They may be somebody who's going to rob me. Do you think God would send you into something like that? And even if he did, so what? They took your purse. They need it more than you do. It's just a purse. My credit cards are in there. You shouldn't have them anyway. You're supposed to pay with cash. I don't know. I'm just being funny now. We worry about things. And sometimes that fear and worry about what we have stops us from seeing a soul that needs Christ. These men didn't even hesitate. They dropped their nets. The other last two, James and John, left their father sitting in the boat. Left him sitting in the boat. Now, you men, imagine going home and telling mama that her boys are now gone. And you couldn't stop. Listen, there's a lot of things we need to really just think about in Scripture, because it took a lot for them just to walk behind him. And it's going to take a lot for you and I to walk behind God. We're going to have to sacrifice some things. We're going to have to give some things up. We're not going to enjoy some things of this world because we're going to do this. That's okay. But we all have a calling, which is going to bring a change every now and then. And change, if called by God, change is the greatest thing for you in that moment. Don't fight the change because you're fighting the calling. Allow it. Allow God to do that. I'm telling you what, it's freeing. It is totally freeing when you just let God be God and just let him take you into wherever you want to go, where he wants to send you. And listen, just live life, will you? Just don't be so, live life. Go live life. Go be enjoyed. Go have a smile. Go enjoy. Go do things. And in the process of you doing them, you may see that lady in the bench. You may see that gentleman on the bench. You may see that struggling single mom with three kids running everywhere in the store. Don't stand there and say, well, you ought to get all your kids. Why don't you go pick up one of her kids for her? Why don't you help? I mean, in my growing days, I got away with nothing in the neighborhood because they all told on me. It was terrible. I was the only boy in the neighborhood. Can't get away with nothing. We don't have that today. Everybody's on their own little deal, their own little mindset, their own little circle. And as long as it doesn't bother my pocketbook, and as long as it doesn't bother me, I'm not going to worry about it. And the sad part is Christians got dipped into that. Man, we need to break that. We need to get out of our zones. We need to get out of our, there is no zones. We need to get out, and we need to be the light in the world and the salt in the world that God said we need to be. So that's my challenge tonight, the calling that God has for us. So I trust you're able to take that. Don't be so fearful of change, because change is good as long as the change comes from God. And so when I ask you, trust me, it came from God. Just kidding. Just kidding. Because listen, it's so much fun to serve God. If not, you're going to be so depressed trying to figure out this crazy world we live in. It's better just to let the world be the world and just go serve God in the midst of it. It's a lot easier and a lot better. Any questions or comments on that tonight before we close our time together?
I just have a thought on John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Him being human, when he went to prison, didn't he ask for Christ to come to him because he was like not expecting this?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Christ didn't go.
Yeah. Because that's unfair. That's not right.
I don't know.
Yeah, because the whole process of that, why he got put in prison, because he went after the king and his wife and all that went on there, and she said, I want his head on a platter. And it's like, when you look at the humanistic side of that and the mindset of that, and he asked for Christ, remind him I'm here, you know, it's like, did he forget me? Yeah, that's a beautiful sermon. And when God's ready for you to come home, you go home no matter what. Seems unfair, though.
I was thinking along the same line this morning as you spoke, and tonight, Jesus was the Son of God, so why was Joseph dead before the crucifixion?
Yeah, he wasn't there, was he? Not there. cannot answer that.
I don't think so.
I'll put it in my book of questions for when I get there. Yeah. When we look at how life is, it's unfair. When we look at how the just the cruelness and the evil of our world, it just doesn't make sense. Why don't they just stop? Well, they're not going to. And God is allowing it to go on because he's using it to fulfill his purpose and plan. And we're never going to make sense of that. Never going to make sense of that. And yeah, the backside of that story of John the Baptist and even Joseph is just like, wow, how many missionaries, stories of young kids, good kids, and they're just in college and they're living the life of the Lord and they've got a great perspective and then they're gone. It's like, wow, God, and yet you let that guy go? You let that guy that's still living? We can't make sense of that. We're not supposed to. But everything and everyone is affected by the broken, sinful world we live in. And we don't know. But when John's ministry was done, and that's why I would say, I'm afraid to die because I know where I'm going, but the way in which John did not expect to go out that way. Not at all. None of them did. And so...
I was thinking he was probably thinking this will all go over. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Humanly speaking, I think we've all been in situations where we're like, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
You knew somebody that, well, like Linda, and Tom.
Yeah. Well, I can remember. Kim and I have been through that. Linda has been through that. Many have been through that. Carolyn has been through that. We all. But I remember saying, Lord, I sold everything I owned, went into ministry for you, and you continue to take. That we all get there. We all get in that phrase. But on the backside of that, I now get a blessing. See, when you work, don't work through. You work with what God gives you and move on with what God gives you, then you get the blessings. And Kim and I talk a lot about that. We wouldn't have what we have today if we weren't able to overcome and work through what we went through. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But God called us to that situation. And God got us through that situation. And on the other side of that, we still got God. So that's where we end up. That's the life we have and the brokenness we live in. And we're all looking for that time when God's going to make it all right. You know, we won't have to worry about them journeys of brokenness anymore. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Through what you and Kim have gone through, you started this grief share and my the people with them as
well. Yeah, grief share was started a long time ago, and it's everybody that's there is all people who have gone through. And so that's scripture. And that's my encouragement and challenge to many people who go through sufferings. It doesn't necessarily have to be a loss. Of course, we don't lose anybody because we know where they're at. But when we go through life, we are to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He is the God of all comfort. When he comforts you, what are you supposed to do? Turn around and comfort others who are going through it. And so you can't turn around and help others going through it unless you take the comfort of God, you work through it. And again, I want to use the right terms. It's not working through as if you're leaving it all behind. You work with. It's always going to come with you to a certain extent, but you work with that. You let God be God, and you work with that. And then you reach around and say to somebody else, say, listen, here's my favorite thing, and I've said it 100 times, I have no idea where you're at, but I know the road you're on, and I know where it will lead you if you don't get a handle on it. I know where it will lead you if you don't work with God. And we've been able to comfort many people. Everybody who's been through has been able to comfort a lot of people. That's what life is. To me, that's our calling. If God's going to call you into something, he's going to comfort you through that. His calling in 2 Corinthians 1 says you are to turn around and comfort somebody else. You don't need another billboard for that. You don't need another, I'm waiting for God's calling in my life. It's there already. And that's what we do. You just keep living the journey. Keep reaching forward to helping those ahead of you, reach behind you, help pull those up through it. That's what we do in life. We just keep encouraging and living. But we can't do it if we don't take this calling, realize it's a change, get the comfort, get all you can from God, stay behind him. That's what his calling says. Come behind me, follow me, stay behind him, and he will walk you through the worst valleys that you could ever imagine. But you got to keep walking. Because as soon as you stop, you're buried. As soon as you stop, you're done. You have to keep walking and keep helping others in the process. That's my mini sermon for the night. Because we've all been there, we've all done that, and we all got people that we can reach out to and help. Absolutely. Any other comments or questions?
When these disciples were called, they didn't have Jesus' witness of his ministry to look at. I mean, he was just somebody walking along the seashore.
Right.
You know, they had nothing. When we're called to do something, at least we have that confidence in what's gone before. But to them, it's even more amazing that they immediately followed because they didn't know who he was.
Right. They knew about him, but they didn't know of him as much as what we do. Absolutely. We have the study. We have the text. We have the Spirit of God in us. They did not have the Spirit of God in them.
And they had done no miracles?
No, nothing yet.
No ministry ahead of them.
Man. And if they got the word about John the Baptist, they're like, I'm going to follow you, man. You let your guys die. It's a good thing they didn't have social media back then. They never would have signed up. But yeah, they didn't have, and that's even makes it sad to me. They didn't have what we have, but yet they were more faithful than we are.
You don't know, but I wonder if something was revealed to them to know that it didn't fall onto.
Yeah.
They were looking, you know.
Right, and there was a couple times in scriptures where it says, "Who told you this? You know, how did you know how to answer that?" And then the Spirit of God, you know. So Christ said this a couple times, and I do think that as time went on, they did understand more, and I do believe, as in the Old Testament, God gave them special Spirit of God in them to continue to a point, but then they were told to wait in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, the power of God to come. But yeah, just through bits and pieces of Scripture, you can pull out and say, yeah, they probably had something, but again, I know a lot about God. And for me to go, chink, gone,
Oh, yeah, they left everything.
Yeah.
To take care of the family.
Exactly. To have that much of a love. And Kim and I talked about this the other day, or this morning or the other day, we were talking about this, about in order to work through, you have to have a greater love for God than you do whatever it is you lost. Because if you have a greater love for the thing you lost, you'll never get through it. You'll never work through it. But the love for God, it has to be greater. And I think these men had a greater love for God than anything else. They didn't understand him. They didn't know him. They didn't get it all. But we shouldn't demand to have all those answers either. Like at times, I do, and I think we all do. So they had less understanding of God than we do, but yet had more faith to follow than what we do. And I think it's because don't forget your God and the land of the blessings.
So do you think that there were some events, maybe, we're just talking here, there's possibly events that led up to that in their lives that just prepared them for that?
Well, their understanding, all the Jewish boys would have memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. They would have been all part of that. They all had to go through that schooling. And so they would have had a knowledge and understanding of God and some of the prophesying of the Messiah. They went to the synagogues. They sat under there. They were Jews. They all went to the readings of the scriptures. So you would assume that they had an understanding of those things. And again, if you go to John, I think in this Simon Andrew, it says, the one we were searching for is here. So like, Ray said they were searching for this Messiah to come because their world was getting so bad. They were searching because the Romans were coming in with the empires and they were destroying and they were taking over their turf. And so their livelihood wasn't the greatest in the world as they knew. They were looking for this Messiah to come and set up his kingdom and everything would be great. Because that's what was prophesied. And so they would have an understanding. What events in their lives, we were not privy to some of that. Because they're coming on scene as men. We don't know their childhood as much. But yeah, they would have a head knowledge. They would have an understanding of some sort. So it's hard to get into their world a little bit, you know, into their understanding of what they had. Because we don't know. I mean, obviously we know they had the education. And obviously at age 12, that decision would have been made whether they were priests. They probably at 12 did not go to school anymore. They went into the family business. So, and again, these doesn't even say how old these men were. They could have been 13, 14, 15-year-old men. You know, they just said they were men or did their names. I mean, they didn't have to be, we think, 30s, 40s. Could have been for 15. By 15, you were 3 years out of the schooling, working a family trade. So, again, our Western minds are trying to understand an Eastern belief and the Eastern understanding and culture. So there's a lot of little variables in there, but yeah. And that even, Mary was to be 14, 15 when she was pregnant with Christ.
Joseph probably 16, 17.
Yeah, Joseph was the same thing in the late teens. So, you know, we're lucky to get a 20-year-old to make a bed today. Am I off? Am I still alive? We're still alive. No problem. But I'll tell you, back then, they're a whole different culture. And things meant different to them. But could you imagine, let's say they were in their mid-teens and walking like this, leaving it all, just letting it go. We don't know, like Jim said, maybe they were married, maybe they weren't married, maybe they're a little older. They were married at 15 to 19, most everybody were married. So there's so many variables in there we don't know, but that they just straight away said, you know what, we're going to follow them. And then, like I said, we have more of God and understanding of God today than they did, and we dice it down, question it up, and make sure everything's ducks in a row. And a lot because, again, the land of blessing. We've lived in America so long, we've been blessed so much that, boy, to take anything of that, like that blessing away and we're just all over it. And we get upset. And interesting. Any other comments or questions? I appreciate the discussion tonight. We need to get more of that because I think it benefits everybody. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight and we thank you for the abilities that you give all of us. And Lord, we are all called. And Father, I pray that as we see this calling and the response and to know that every time you call, that call comes with a promise. You will make. God, I just pray that all of us tonight will fill in the blanks because maybe we're struggling with something that we feel you want us to do. And maybe we just need to trust you more and rely on you more that you will make us and give us what we need. And God, I just pray as we lift that up to you that the results of that will just be all in your hands and that you will get the glory for it. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. I dismiss tonight.